Welcome to the Mug Meetings Summaries Podcast. I'm Gilbert de Tillieu. Our May meeting featured two mini-topics. The first was Kevin McGregor talking about the MDADM command under Linux for doing software RAID.
MDADM is, means Multiple Device Administrator or Administration. And it's the tool that's used to administer software RAID on Linux. RAID, if you don't remember, is either usually referred to as redundant array of inexpensive disks, or as the RAID hardware vendors have been pushing, independent disks. They're not inexpensive. Originally, the idea was you could use cheap disks and a whole bunch of them and get wonderful results. So the idea is to provide either enhanced performance or redundancy for various data protection needs. That's about all I'm going to say. I'm going to assume that you sort of know what RAID is. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about that because, like I said, this is a mini presentation. I'm making some assumptions here that, you know, you're doing this, you don't want to be just a click monkey, you're not really keen on using a GUI to do this, you want to know, really, how do you do it from the command line, and so that's why I'm just focusing on that. Also, I'm assuming that you're not going to do this as part of the install of Linux, because a lot of the installers will guide you through it and do all this for you, but again, you're not really learning anything, you're just saying, oh, okay, do that, and cross your fingers that it'll work. I'm also going to just go through a very simple setup of a RAID array. I'm not going to go into many, many variations as this says. There is more than one way to do this. There is a lot of ways you can set up software RAID, and this is not the way I'm doing it is not necessarily the best way. It's just a way, and I've tried to set it up so that it's as minimal as possible, so like the minimum number of commands, but still show you sort of right from square one how it's done. And, of course, there's the whole MDADM utility tool and everything surrounding it can be very complicated. There's a ton of options and variations and different ways to do things. But, of course, I can't go into all of them because it would no longer be a mini presentation. It would be a very maxi presentation. Okay. I'm not going to go into a whole lot more intro stuff. So what I thought I would do is give you a demo of how I set it up. Now, of course, I don't really want to do a live demo, so I got a canned demo. And I'm going to try to set it up. I'm going to try to get that running, and I'm hoping that it'll work the way I planned. It's a video I made. I basically set up, just to let you know how I planned to do it. At home, I created a virtual machine using VMware Workstation, and VMware Workstation has a feature which will record a video of your virtual machine, whatever you happen to be doing in it, just the screen, whatever shows there. And so what I did is I just started recording the video and typed all the commands and recorded it and converted it to a movie and on the Mac. And here
did
we go.
Did you keep the outtakes for the trailer?
Is that?
Did you keep the outtakes for the later?
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, what we'll do is create the array, and what I will do is start with open, and see if it, nope, anyway, podcasts, let's see, oh good, I can pause, look, okay, slight bit of additional background is, what I did is I set up, I set up four disks in this virtual machine. So the first disk just has Ubuntu 10.04 LTS installed at server. And it's very, very basic. There's no frills or anything, just go through the straight install. That's installed on SDA. I'm going to set up a RAID array on SDB and SDC, which are the same size. They're 1 gig each. disks, and they start off with having no formatting or anything. There's no partition table, they're just blank. So first thing you have to do, of course, is create the partition table. So you run fdisk there, and it warns you about a couple of things. It says DOS compatible mode is deprecated, and oh, where's my laser pointer? I could use that occasionally. And so the first thing you do is what it says, switch off the mode. So command C here and says DOS compatibility flag is actually, maybe should say no longer set. And then you change the units to sectors, because one of the things that normally happens is when it's displaying all the units, it's in things like heads, sectors, and tracks. And if you're doing this in a more performance-critical server area, you want to arrange for your partitions to be aligned with the, the chunk size of the RAID array. So if they're misaligned, then it'll have to read, you know, some chunks from this section and some from this. And it's not a huge performance hit necessarily, but sometimes it is. So as we'll see, if you go ahead and follow the instructions, create a new partition. It's a primary partition, partition number one. I'm just going to put one partition on each of the two disks. And as you can see, don't worry about this. There we go. There. As you can see down here, the first sector is 2048, which is 1 megabyte into the disk. So the boot partition, the partition table takes up a whole 512 bytes, but you don't want to start the actual partition right after that because, like I said, it'll be more awkward to align the stuff later. So by default, then it says, oh, well, I'm going to align things for you. So it makes it a nice 1 megabyte boundary. And the second part is just, you know, the ending sector, and that doesn't matter so much in our case because we're just having one big partition. So where it ends doesn't matter. And at the bottom, you probably can't quite see this, but down at the bottom, you have to change the type of the partition. And what you do is you set it to partition type FD. Normally it's set to 83, which is just a Linux file system partition type. But if you change it to FD, it turns it into, as we will see, Linux auto detect. So Linux RAID auto detect, as you can see over here, is this. So what I did is I changed the type to FD, printed out the results so you can see what it looks like. Again, it shows you this stuff here, total number of sectors, units and sectors, but the important part is this is SCSI disk B, partition 1, starts there, ends there, that's how many blocks, this is the ID, it's the Linux RAID auto detect. So you basically just go ahead and do that to the other disk as well, and type, and we've changed the partition type, and that's SDC, and for good measure, print out the same information again. So fdisk-l for list, dev SDC. And then, like I said, this is a bare install. The MDADM tool is not installed on the server to begin with. So we just go ahead and apt-get install MDADM. So then I installed it, and it installs a whole bunch of things, including it needs to install some kind of mail system. It doesn't absolutely need this. You can sort of skip this if you're just going to manage everything yourself. What this allows you to do, if you are running, say, a home system, I select Internet with Smart Host, and as we'll see, all this enables us to do is do a bit of configuration such that the MDADM tool will monitor your RAID array, and anytime something interesting happens, like a disk goes bad, it will email you. So that's why it's doing this whole mail system thing.
Will it detect an existing mail server?
You know, I don't know. So I didn't try that. I think it will. If you already have PostFix or something else installed, I think if it's configured properly, it should work. But I haven't tested it. All right. So select that. Change the system mail name. You can probably pick just about anything for this circumstance. I'm on SHA for internet, so I just picked a name here. And then it goes and says, what's your SMTP relay host? And, of course, you can ask SHA for that, and they have a very helpful thing that says it should be, for Winnipeg, shawmail.wp.shawcable.net, and that's all you need to configure. And then it finishes doing all its configuration and installing stuff and configuring more stuff, and sets up all the files and gets everything running, and then it's time to actually create our RAID array. So again, of course, it's down at the bottom where it's a little hard for you to see.
So what I will do is, actually, I guess if I play this a little more, it should...
So, Kevin, why did you have to set up PostFix? What does this have to do with...
This allows the monitoring program to email you if anything bad happens.
Okay. But if you... Can you opt out? I mean,
you can just ignore that and select no...
And live dangerously, right?
No,
okay.
Yeah, and if you have failures, you have to monitor it yourself.
Right.
What you can do is... issue this command periodically, log on to your machine and type cat /proc/mdstat. And that's one way to find out what's going on. So going back a bit, now it says mdadm, so I'll explain this, -c means create a RAID array. Then you give the name of the RAID array. Usually it's, or I don't know, it doesn't have to be. It can be pretty much anything, but multi-disk 0 or md0 is typical. Dash C is what they call the chunk size, and it's in kilobytes, so 256 is nicely divisible into the 1 meg size of the start of the partition, so that should work out well. Dash L is the RAID level, and there's a whole bunch of things you can put here. You can use RAID 0, RAID 1, RAID 5, RAID 10, and also synonyms like mirror and stripe, which is just the same thing as RAID 1 and RAID 0. The number of disks involved, you can actually have, I think, more than 2 for mirroring. It just isn't that useful necessarily. You can on some systems anyway. And then lastly, you just specify the partitions that you've already selected and marked as Linux RAID auto detect. So you put those two down there, and then it surely enough says array dev md0 started. And just to prove that, you could do a cat /proc/mdstat. And it tells you a little bit of information. It says personalities. Well, in this case, we're only using RAID 1. And it tells you about the disk that we've configured. It's active. It is RAID 1. And these are the two components of it, SDC1 and SDB1. How big it is and how many devices it's using. 2 of 2. And for each of them, it tells you, it puts a U there if it's up. So if you have a failed device, instead of a U, it'll be an underscore. For example, which I will demonstrate later. And then it gives you a nice...
Which.
What's that?
I know which is which.
That's a good question.
Because this here is a 1, and that means it's base 0. So you can look at the numbers here. These are the indexes. So this is 0, which would be the first one, and this is 1, which would be the second one. I don't know why it puts it in that order. It's kind of weird.
But when you actually go about replacing one of those... The ultimate question is, which one do you pull out?
Right.
Yeah. And you have a 50-50 chance. I don't know a better way of saying it. Even better, you may be able to lie.
There are ways to figure that out in
advance. But you pull the plug
drive,
and you see.
And you pull the wrong drive, leave town.
Yeah.
But go home again.
But it's really, even if you pull out the wrong one, you plug in the new one, you plug it. Well, don't talk about that. But not
in RAID 5, because if you die once and pull up one of the remaining 4 that's working, leave town.
Well, if you have a failed drive and you put another drive in which is blank and unformatted, it doesn't, like, there's no partition table on a new drive that you put in, so it won't know that it's part of the RAID, so it won't start, like, instantly start remirroring. So you could pull it back out and, say, oops, wrong one, and keep, replacing a single drive at a time until you get the one that's failed. So I don't think it'll actually destroy anything. It's just that when you boot the system, for example, you shut the system down. I'm assuming you don't have hot swap, but if you boot the system, it'll say, I can't mount this volume. It's not working. And then you figure out, it's like, oh, this is missing, and oh, okay. So it's kind of a pain. But
it's surprising they haven't worked out that problem with numbering drives like that, because it can really screw you up, too, when you're just installing a dual boot system or something,
Yeah.
They shouldn't have, it can't always depend on magicians,
Well, no, but then if you're really concerned and you have a lot of drives, then just buy a hardware hot swappable tray and it'll light up the drive that's got a problem and do all these fancy things for
you. You can also get different brands of drives if you're happy with that, because then you can recover the brand name of the drive by using the smart controller.
Yeah.
Are there any
that
would print out the serial number on the drive? Like, you've got the device.
SD Parm.
Yeah.
HD Parm.
Yeah.
Can that give you the serial number and you can on the drive?
HD Parm.
Yeah.
If you can see it.
Just
have the
drive.
Once.
Figure it out once.
The serial number that ain't on the list. That's the dead one.
Yeah, so when you install them, copy all your serial numbers down.
Okay, moving along.
when you first start this, it shows you, or when you first start doing this, it shows you this little bar graph showing you how far along it is in resyncing. Because, of course, when you first start off with a RAID array, both drives could have completely different information on it, and it assumes that, you know, the first drive is the copy, and so it immediately starts duplicating that onto the second one, which is called resyncing. So, since this is only a 1 gig volume, it started resyncing pretty fast. It tells you, gives you an estimate of how soon it's going to finish, in this case 0.1 minutes, and it gives you the speed, so about 63 megabytes per second. You can also set up hot spares, so if you don't want to have it wait in a, or you want to minimize the amount of time it's got a failed drive, you can have two mirror drives plus a hot spare, for example, and as soon as it detects there's a problem, it'll start using the hot spare and then tell you, and then that'll minimize the amount of time when you only have one drive and no redundancy. So, but by default, if you just have two drives, it says unused devices, none, which means you're using everything pretty much live. All right, so then, of course, you can make a file system on it. Since you have something here, you can make a type ext4 on this device, which is now just like any other disk drive. And by default, it goes through and sets up all these things, writes out everything, and then it tells you this file system will be automatically checked every 26 months or 180 days, whichever comes first. So that's great. So it looks like we have a file system. Then we have to have a place to mount it, of course. So we'll create a new directory here and mount the volume on there. And then there's a few other things you have to do. Right now, as it is, if you reboot your system, it probably won't remember how to set up this RAID array. So what you do is you edit a couple of configuration files. And what you can do is if you do mdadm --detail --scan, it'll scan any arrays that you happen to have and output a string which identifies the array and the universally unique identifier that it assigned to that RAID array. So every drive in the array that you just set up has the same number so that it can associate them all and say, oh yeah, this, and this are all part of this same array. And so what I did is I just redirected that to the tail end of the etc/mdadm.conf file, which I will then show you. It's a fairly simple file. And edit it. So, basically, this is the entire file. There's a line that says device, and by default you can just leave it as partitions, or in my case I'm going to edit it and put the actual names of the partitions and devices that comprise the array. Create, I'm not going to get into, it's just some defaults. Home host, again, any new arrays, it'll say, oh, I guess there's a system for this system. This is where you put in your address that you want to email when anything happens, where to send mail alerts. And at the end, this is the definition. Array, it starts with the name of the array, the level, the number of devices, and the metadata type, which, and some of this is redundant because really what it boils down to is it needs to know the name and the universally unique identifier, which is a very long string, which every drive gets, and then it'll be able to rebuild the array on boot, and then you'll be able to mount it. So here's me editing the the actual file. And here you can just put, you can use sort of wildcards and things like this. So you can put star, or in my case, I just wanted to scan SDB through SDZ, partition one of each. There's my email address. And then this, just I just moved up a little bit and then decided I wanted to get rid of this because it's redundant. That's it. So save that, and now you have your thing configured. And the last thing you want to do is have it auto-mount when the system comes up. So, of course, you have to change your FS tab. What I did here is... All right. So, a very simple line in FS tab is the name of the device, where to mount it, the file system type, use the defaults, and then the FS check stuff, right? And just put that on the end of etc FS tab. And lastly, here's our fully functional, up and running RAID array, and it looks just fine. So at that point, you reboot, and you're off to the races. You have a fully usable mirrored pair of drives. Okay. Now, got a lot of windows here.
Just while you're moving on there, when you created that, if you start tinkering with other drives in the system and change the definitions of SDB and SDC, it doesn't matter because it's going to find them from the UUID, right?
If the MD-ADM conf file lists all the drives that it needs to scan,
yep.
Then it should be able to identify. And it's something that I didn't show in that movie, but there's one more movie that I'm going to show you. You can dump some information in a nicely readable form that has a lot more information and tells you, like on each disk, you can examine the disk, mm-hmm. And it'll say, oh yeah, this partition is part of this array, it's this RAID level, there's this many devices, this is device number whatever in that, mm-hmm. And you know, it's clean or it's degraded or you know, things like that. So,
but the auto mount doesn't care if you change disks.
Shouldn't. If you swap disks around, it should still find everything and put them in the right order.
Somewhere in the scannable space.
As long as it's something that it's able to scan
and
it can find it, then it pieces together everything and it knows what order the devices should go in.
He puts metadata on each of those volumes when they were added in that has the UID on it. He does an assembly step. It really doesn't matter. As long as you've not excluded the kernel scanning for him, he will find them and risk even done properly. The thing is, you got to end up with the same MD zero because your FS tab points to a mount point to keep track of that stuff.
That's a virtual ID. That's not going to change if you start mucking with the hard drives in the system.
It's on the drive surface. Right?
Oops.
The thing I mentioned, Kevin, is you don't actually scan those drives to get them to reassemble. At boot time, you do not need that file reassembled. That's only there for recovery reasons.
Yeah.
It's actually the information, the exclusions you did can change it. But if you don't exclude anything, every drive that's accessible, he's going to look on there for that partition ID on every partition on every drive he finds. Mm-hmm. He sees that FD and he finds matching metadata, drives that have that same UUID on them. He'll reassemble it.
Yep.
And you can even, with hot pluggable devices and MD fans, you force him to scan active, right? You don't even have to reboot.
Yeah.
Just plug a bunch of drives in there and say, rescan these drives, and he'll reassemble the array right from the start.
I was just assuming nobody had hot swap for this
demo.
But yeah, that would work.
Though, right? Mm-hmm. You have to unmount MD0, to unmount the RAID.
To do what?
No, I'm saying if
you're hot swapping, you've got to unmount the RAID.
I'm saying you already have this RAID MD0 is running, and you got a pile of disks from some other system, and you can hot swap it. You just plug them into Cassie and have him scan those, and he'll reassemble that array in the current OS and give you back. So
it's removing the drive from the RAID array that was
scanned. If you're going to tamper with a RAID array that's there, you can safely just yank the drive, but you should really PS it first.
Really flush it with that unmount, it would be safer.
No, because once you take, if you only pull one drive from a RAID like that, a mirrored RAID, mm-hmm. it's known bad right there.
Yep.
So it'll resync it and put it back in. So you don't need to sync it or flush it or do anything.
Yeah, it's
if
all online.
Pull the whole array. Yes.
Yeah, if you pull too many drives, that's not going to help.
MD0 before mucking with it.
Oh well, no, but I mean, in a production environment, you want the ability. I mean, you might have something that notifies you and says, you know, disk 2 of this 2 drive mirror is going bad, so you want to do that online without necessarily taking it down. So you'll pull a drive, pop another one in, rescan it, you know, add the partition, and tell it to remirror, and then it remirrors, and you don't have to take anything down. I mean, sure, you can, but I mean, this of course, having a RAID, of course, means, among other things, that you can, instead of saying, oh, drive's gone bad, we have to shut everything down now, you can schedule it at your convenience. So that's the other main thing that you can do. So,
What if you have drives of different physical media, you know, like solid-state drives and the old magnetic platter type of drives?
Shouldn't matter. As long as
could you have mirroring, for instance, or just striping, or
sure,
either, or are there?
It all works. They're all block devices. You wouldn't necessarily want to mirror.
But there's speed differences involved.
Yeah, but that just affects your performance. It doesn't affect the functionality.
You just got to make sure you have exactly the same number of sectors that you set up on each.
If you have multiple partitions marked as this, and you try to create a brand new RAID array and the partitions are not all the exact same size, it'll make them all the same by using the minimum size.
What's the recommended thing for
the smallest one?
For differing media, physical media, like solid state and conventional.
What do you mean by recommendation for what?
Suppose you had a hard drive, you had a solid state hard drive and a conventional drive. Would you stripe them or mirror them or?
No.
Neither.
I wouldn't do any. Why would you do that? Get two drives that are the same.
If you wanted to have, say, backup capabilities or your.
Well, but backup and RAID are not the same thing.
Yeah. But if you wanted, like, fail-safe mirroring would be the best.
Typical practice is if you're going to set up a mirrored pair, you buy the two disks,
yeah.
And you buy spares.
Yeah.
So all of the same.
Yeah.
At the time of purchase.
Yeah.
So you need at least four drives before you can consider RAID or...
No, two drives to mirror.
Two and a couple spares.
Although if you don't care about redundancy, you could just stripe
them. Oh, yeah, you can stripe them, and that means you have no redundancy, but you have a much better performance.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily need spares.
But, sorry. Hold on. One person at a time talking.
Yeah.
Oh, are we done?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you had a comment or?
Question, yeah.
Question.
So if you're setting up a RAID array, and especially if ultimately you're going to use LVM for the actual partitions really start working,
yeah.
Is there any reason not to use one partition for the whole disk? That's what I've always done. And I've tried to figure out a reason not to, but it seems always seemed logical. Is there any downside to that?
Gary, if one.
What?
If you lose sectors, what happened in the old ones and it's carried over to the smaller ones is that there is a redundancy area on the hard drive. So that...
It keeps a bunch of spare sectors around. And so the drive does the remapping. Every time it detects a marginal sector, it remaps it. But, I mean, whether you have multiple partitions or one doesn't really make any difference because it's the same pool that it uses for the
right.
entire drive.
But the thing is, you should leave a small area on the disk.
For what?
Well, I've actually found that small disks have a smaller redundancy area unless you leave some blank area on the hard drive.
That's a reserved area that the manufacturer sets.
Yeah.
You can't see it.
It doesn't report it anywhere. Yeah, it doesn't even look that way. You can't see,
actually,
you can't
no.
see it.
Yes, you can.
Is that so?
Okay.
Can you see that area? The reserve?
No, but you can tell when it's exhausted. Wow.
Wait a minute. Doesn't anybody here do load leveling of your hard drive anymore?
Load leveling?
Low level formatting?
Nobody low level formats their drives.
I don't know of any utilities that would let you look at the bit sector swap space drive.
Tell
they
you
probably
how,
exist.
Yeah, yeah tell you how much
drive
left
manufacturer,
maybe.
They can probably do that.
Yeah.
They're right on the drive manufacturer site.
In the olden days, that might have been the case.
they're still available on the drive manufacturer site.
So anyway, one thing that I have done, though, is if you set up mirroring and you only have two drives and you install it initially, someone correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm not sure about this, but you can't just mirror the whole drive because the /boot will not be mirrored, right?
You
have to manually set that up or something, don't you?
Yeah, it's kind of painful to set up the first time. And I saw your installer added an NetRAM disk to load up the MD80M kernel stuff.
Yeah.
You have to have that @boot active
right.
to boot from a mirrored drive.
Yeah.
But it's not a trivial exercise to boot from a mirrored.
Yeah.
But it's well worth it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes what I do is I just create, like, a boot partition on each drive, and then a swap partition on each drive, and then the third partition, which is mirrored for like /root, yeah. And then manually, you know, do the boot because the boots doesn't change that often.
There's a real good reason to never boot or swap because the writes take on. You have to do two writes on mirrored drives. Every write has to be done twice.
Yeah.
So when you're doing swapping, it has to write twice to keep your disk bus busy.
Yeah.
So you never want a mirror swap.
No, but that's why I put two separate swap arrays that are not mirrored, one on each drive, the kernel manages which
you get the efficiency in.
Yeah, it actually
creates two swap partitions, but not mirrored.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Now, back in the olden days, if you had two, you got a RAID system on the boot drive, doesn't it mount the first one it finds bootable, read-only, and then figure out, oh, they're rated, I got to add in the other half. And then it changes the file system to rewrite about 20 lines into the boot sequence. Hmm. That was the way it used to happen in the olden days.
I don't know, but we're going to move on. Because it's already 10 after 9, and there's another mini presentation that's supposed to happen after this. So I just thought I'd give you a quick demo of what happens if you want to break it and then fix it. So, part two, this should be how to replace a drive. Hello.
It's actually, you don't have to pull it up from down here.
Down here? Really? No, that's not it. There we go. Oops.
You don't have to.
Hey.
That's first one.
That's part one. Oh, that's part one. Okay. We don't like iTunes, do we? How if we do that? Okay, let's try it this way. Okay, so again, here's our array, and just to pretend that we have a problem drive, I issued the command MDADM, told it which one, and I said, I'm going to fail, or dash F, SDC1. So that's the half of our mirror there. So immediately it says, disk failure on SDC1, disabling device, operation continuing on one device. And it says set SDC, so that tells you that it's confirming that it's failed, set this device as faulty. So, then what do you do? Well, you turn off your computer and replace the drive. Or in my case, you, here's the example where this one has failed. There's the F, and there's the second one. There's two devices, only one working, and there's a second one which is not working. So here's the information that I told you. You can tell you a lot more about the status of your RAID device right now. And so it tells you a whole bunch of stuff. It tells you the version of the metadata for the RAID, when you created it, the RAID level, the size, how many devices, total devices, preferred minor, I'm going to skip that, persistence. Status is still, it's clean, but it's in degraded mode. There's one active device, one working device, one failed device, and no spare device. And there's the UUID that we set up before. And again, it'll list all the devices here. One is removed. That's RAID device one. And it tells you the device numbers and all that, and faulty, spare. So, okay, this is what we're going to do. So, what we're going to do is we're going to go through our... you remove it, so after it's failed, you remove it from the array, and now we have a RAID 1 array which doesn't have a faulty device in it, but it's obviously still degraded. And what we do is we go through and we create the partition on SDD, just like we did on all the other ones, or the other two, rather. So here again, here's the whole set up, and this is where a partition is, and then we go and issue the MD80M command to dash A, or add in this as our additional device, and adds it, and immediately starts remirroring. It says recovery, finish in 0.1 minutes, so we're a little further along, and now we're done. So it shows that we're now back in operation. We've got two of two devices, they're both up. And they are SDB1 and SDD1. And just to prove it, now we see that we are once again back in operation. We have two active devices, two working devices, zero failed devices, and no spare devices. And here are the two things. They're active and they're synced, and there you go. So that's how you do it. Fail it, remove it, replace the drive, add it back in, partition it, and off you go.
Once they're up as RAID, can you still access them as dev SDD1?
Yes,
yeah. You wouldn't want to.
Do they show if you go in as dev SDD1, does it show read only? Or is it stupid enough to let you write?
No.
Okay.
Should let you do whatever you want to.
That's the issue. Yes.
That is one way you can figure out which drive is failed. Is use DD,
yeah.
IF.
One of them will go.
No, you DD and use IF from on one of the drives and route it out to the null and see which light stays on full.
Oh, yeah.
Drive. You haven't labeled it properly. Yep. And if neither drive lights up...
If each drive has its own drive light.
If it lights up, yeah. That's right. Probably...
Not all drives have their own drive.
So you could add on response drive.
Sometimes that works. Well, not if you have a busy array.
Yeah, true.
It might be a little hard to tell.
Get a stethoscope.
Okay. All right. So then there's our volume still up and running. I failed the device, removed it, and added a new one, and everything is still up and ready. Didn't have to shut down. I had a spare drive sitting around already online, though. So. Okay, so that's basically MD-ADM in a nutshell. Thank you. Is it a quick question?
Have you tried tying in the status reporting from ADM into any monitoring, even log watch summaries, so that you can get a status of the driver of the RAID array?
I think log watch automatically. Whenever you get one of these events, it emails you, it also writes it out to syslog. And I think log watch already looks for those events and will report it for you automatically.
Oh, any events, but just if, not if the regular status.
No. It'll tell you if log the drive or if the drive state change, if it's submitted to the force or whatever. It'll show up in the log so you know something happened and you did it so.
This smart control, too.
Smart log?
Yeah. So, look, you can have that log in your daily logs, too.
The other thing I'd like to note about his syncing is really important for me, is that when he's syncing that drive back up, he will not use just so much speed, so he doesn't kill the other drives there by copying it. He only runs just so fast. You can tune it to copy it.
You can tune that, yeah.
So you can get to sync faster.
Yeah.
But you do that at the expense of people can't get good access to the remaining drives.
Yeah, it'll degrade performance, so it's a trade-off.
Yeah, they come
it depends on how big your array is and how long it'll take and how bad the performance degradation is and how long you want to be unsynchronized.
Yeah.
So if you have a really big RAID 5 array, it can take a long time to resync, and you might want to speed that up as much as possible, because another drive goes, you're toast.
If you swap partitions not mirrored, and you pull up a drive with active swap partition, how come your operating system doesn't go all the way?
Well, it just might.
God, dude. I think that was not a hot swap machine.
Yeah. Well, if you're bringing the machine down to do that, then when you bring it back up, it'll say, oh, there's only one swap partition here. And it'll complain and make you fix it.
But won't it boot with less swap?
Or it might just boot with less swap. I'm not sure.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more Mug Meetings summaries or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website at muug.mb.ca.